You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio, and I'm joined by author, comedian, and one of our favorite people, Erica Nicole Clark, joins us.
Hi, Patty.
Who I did not know had a ritual. Well, one, I did not realize that your birthday was on Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm.
And what is your ritual every Christmas Eve at 9:24 now?
42.
No, sorry. Wait, I flipped the numbers. I just read it. 9:40. You know when you were born.
Yeah, so I used to write. I stopped, actually, but I used to write 3 pages every day of, like, what was going on in my life or what I wanted to be mm-hmm. going on. And every place I moved to, I would just bring these journals with me. So a couple years back, I started rereading them. God, it's so stupid. Like, the stuff that I wanted, mm-hmm. oh, my God, I'm so happy that I didn't get. And, like, just it's funny to look back on, because you think stuff is so important.
Oh, it's so intense.
Like, it has to work this way, and if I don't, I'll just die. And you think, like, you grow out of that in your, like, teenage years, but, like, especially the stuff that I wanted in my 20s, or I thought, like, by the time I get 30, oh, I said this at 21 on my 21st birthday, by the time I'm 35, which I'm past now, that I want to have 5 kids.
Mm-hmm.
And live in LA. I wanted 5 kids with this person named Jay and live in LA and have 2 Oscars. Like, all this stuff,
mm-hmm.
like 2 Oscars for screenwriting, which I could never be a screenwriter. Like, it's just the most boring thing. Like, I need to be around people. Oh my God, I couldn't imagine if I had a fifth of a kid with Jay.
Right.
You're like, 5 kids.
You look at yourself now and you're like, oh my God. That one.
Just mm-hmm. like all this stuff. And it's like, I thought 21, I was pretty, like, level-headed.
You were already looking back going,
right,
I got this.
So, yeah, whatever. I'm so grown up now. Yeah, and it's just very interesting to look back on.
And you've used this now. Are you using these books for to inform the book you've just released on Amazon.com?
Yes. I found one. And the crazy thing is, I found one, and it's only part of a year. But it was so much stuff happened that year. And so I kind of made it my book, which is How to Be a Stalker. And I'm very mad. And if you read it, you'll see, because I couldn't find the second half. It was my junior year in high school. So I had so much stuff written up until, like, January. And then I had nothing, which I'm just like,
you're like, what happened?
I know. I can't remember.
And I was Why did I stop?
Yeah, I know. And I was really trying to remember. And then I started back up in, like, August before my senior year. So,
do you think, like, sometimes you stop writing? Like, I think I stopped writing when I kind of started doing what I wanted to do. Do you think maybe you were, like, happy for a little bit?
Yeah, I think. No,
like,
seriously.
Maybe content?
Is. Because I stopped. I permanently stopped. I, like, made a conscious effort in 2013 to stop writing. I know that sounds, like, backwards and everything, but I can kind of get super lost in that.
Right.
You know, and, like, I even get stuck on my penmanship. Like, oh, I didn't write this right. Oh. And I'll, like, cross it out. Like,
for me, I'm like, is it going forward? Is it
right.
Going backwards.
Yeah. Am I doing cursive? And it's just like, yeah. And, like, get super obsessed about, like, how I wrote my goals and how I wrote my steps. Like, so I was just like, I'm going to stop. I'm just going to, I know what I have to do to
right.
get where I need to be. So, yeah, so I stopped.
So How to Be a Stalker mm-hmm. is informed by this year in high school.
Yes.
And what kind of perspective do you have on that now? Like, how that informs the way you, you know, see people in your world. What's your advice to people on how to be a stalker
based on
your experiences in high school?
Okay. Well, it was one of those things that just sort of happened. Every girl knows what I'm talking about when you're 15 and
22
in love with a guy who does not know your name. And it kind of started as this thing where, like, I just want to see where he lives and I want to see the inside of his house. And I've got 5 other girls who want to do it too. And they like his friends, and it just snowballed. But the thing that was happening that year is that my father was being sued by 3 different women for paternity. And
he's a high profile guy. We can tell people who he is.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So my dad is Mr. T. So,
that was all in the news. People were talking about it.
Mm-hmm. And it was after the, you know, me and my friend, my best friend, kind of, like, eased into stalking. But the day we were caught, you know, we were trapped at the end of a street, and then she just drove through their cars and almost hit someone. Like, it was crazy. Like, the next day I had to go to school, and it was like my mom had her first manic episode, and she came up to the school, and it's like So I was so like worried about like, oh, they're going to know that we're stalkers. And then like this whole other thing started to happen, you know, with my mom and having a manic episode at my school, like in front of everybody. And then my dad with the paternity stuff that was like in the paper, like 3 days later, it was weird. It's like I was stalking, but all this other much bigger stuff was happening at the same time. So
do you feel like with your mm-hmm. book that you've released on Amazon.com, mm-hmm. How to Be a Stalker, do you feel like you've been able to sort of, and this sounds so, you know, touchy feely, uh-huh. and because you mentioned in your opening in your introduction that this has been better for you than therapy.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you get to take care of that teenager a little bit this way?
Yeah. I was like, the weird thing is a lot of the things that I feared happening happened. But I didn't, blow my brains out. You know what I mean? Like, you just, like, I couldn't even imagine if my parents split up, you know, and they did, and okay.
That is the hardest thing. I think that's so hard for people to know that yeah. the fear oftentimes, and this is a quote, too. I can't remember what poet wrote this, and I know I'm going to hurt myself trying to think of it. But the fear of something is, we blow it, because our imagination, we can right. imagine everything.
Right, yeah.
But the reality of it happens, you accept, you
right.
deal with it.
Yeah.
And you can't deal with your imagination.
Right, yeah. And it was just like, you know, it's just like, oh, my mom's always going to be crazy, and, you know, like, and then my dad's going to leave, and then we're going to have to move to the orphanage, you know, like a homeless shelter, you know, like all this stuff, and it just keeps going and going, and all this stuff happened, and like nothing, you know what I mean? I just,
like, you made
I was
it
okay, yeah. Like, no, I didn't try to cut my wrist, I was okay, you know. So yeah, that looking back on it, it's like, oh man, I was so worried about all this stuff. And it helps me, because everyone does that. I get very anxious about, like, oh, I want to do this and this and this, and I'm not at the point where I want to be in my, you know, mm-hmm. and I always have to remember, like, it's all going to work out. I mean, even if it doesn't work out the way I want it to, it's going to work out.
It will be what it'll be.
And yeah, that's, yeah, yeah. And I'll be okay.
I feel like a case of Rasa Rock
right,
coming,
yeah.
right?
I want to check real quick if this is the quote you're talking about, Patty. Fear is not real. The only place that fear exists is in our thoughts of the future. It's a product of our imagination.
No, that's not the one, but that sounds good,
okay,
too.
Okay, because that's Will Smith in After Earth.
No, it's not in that. Let me look it up during the break now that you think I'm quoting Will Smith. It's not. I want to say it's Emily Dickinson actually has a thing about fear, and that doesn't not is that I you know, now I'm so like, because was she the one that wrote about trains and going into tunnels? Okay, more after this on 720 WGN. We've got Tim Slagle in the green room. I'm sure he's like, oh, I can't wait, because I want to talk a little bit about you mentioned wanting to be at the Academy Awards as a screenwriter.
Yes.
See what I did there? Brought it all the way back around. Yeah. I want to talk a little bit about the Academy Awards and what people are talking about this week. More with Erica Nicole Clark, and we're going to bring Tim Slagle in after this on 720 WGN. Craig, before the break, you asked if I was quoting Will Smith when I said that there was a wonderful poem
in
about
After Earth of all movies.
Yes,
too.
It was not that.
Okay,
it was an Emily Dickinson poem.
Yeah.
That I actually found not long after my father passed away, because I had spent most of my childhood being afraid that he would die. And it was weird because I'd lived with the fear so long that this poem hit me very hard. Would you like to read the poem that I actually was trying to
find? I would love to read the poem, While We Were Fearing It, It Came. Is mm-hmm. that the right one?
Yes,
okay.
It is.
Fear is not real. The only place that fear can exist is in our thoughts and our future. It is a product of our imagination, causing us to fear things.
You're reading that nicely.
Yeah, I don't think that's actually...
Will Smith in After Earth.
You went back to After Earth. Yeah.
Yeah. No, okay. I can read the real one.
All right,
you want the real poem?
It's hard, isn't it? Because it's a little bit like, do I read this like Dr.
Yeah.
Susie? But it's Emily Dickinson, so it's a woman wearing black who never really left her room. I don't know what to do with this.
While we were fearing it, it came, but came with less of fear, because the fearing is so long, had almost made it far. Fair? I can't read those. Yeah.
Stop
it. Almost made
stop
it fair.
Stop.
Fair.
Dear.
It says fair.
Dear.
Almost made it fair.
Dear.
There is a fitting, a dismay, a fitting, a despair. 'Tis harder knowing it is due than knowing it is here.
I'm sorry. I don't have to tell you.
Than trying on the utmost, the morning it is new. It's terribler.
Terribler.
That's not a word.
Not
okay.
A word.
All right. Then. I have
terribler.
I can't. Someone please call and read this poem well.
It's terribler.
Terribler. Yes, it's terribler.
I read it terribler.
Okay. Hey, it's poetry. It doesn't have to be grammatically correct. Have you ever read E.E. Cummings? All right. Hi, Tim Slagle. How are you doing? Hold on. Do you have a... Let's see.
Yeah, yeah. There I am. That,
there you are. Oh, you know what? I've turned you're all sitting away from me, so I'm thrown off completely. Tim Slagle joins us live in the Allstate Showcase studio. He has a show coming up at Zany's next Monday at it's the showroom on Wells near North Avenue. What's the event?
It's the main room. We're doing something called Campaign 2016. It's a series of political showcases.
Is it campaign or is it? I'm sorry.
Campaign. Yes.
Campaign. I'm just saying campaign.
Yes, like a sadistic summer place.
Yes, exactly. I see a lot of harnesses and helmets and horseback riding. mostly the shoveling of the.
No, just the idea. You know, the idea of the camp comes. A lot of the comics are going to be doing political sets. Don't normally do political sets, so it's kind of like a camp. It's kind of like a training camp, a band camp for political comics.
And do you have to? Are the comics preset, or if I can I come and play?
You want to come?
I might do a few minutes.
You want to come next Monday?
I'll come at least watch the show. I don't know if I'd love to come see the show.
You want to? I'll put you on. All right. You can do a couple jokes. Right.
Do a couple jokes.
Yeah, right. It doesn't matter as long as they're political.
Right. Yeah.
You got it. Sure. Yeah,
I don't. Not that they're good jokes, but I'll talk politics.
Oh, next week we have a heck of a lineup. We got Will Durst.
I know, that's why I want to go. Not just because of Will Durst.
I do comedy
because of Will Durst.
Okay. Really?
Brilliant. Absolutely. When I was in high school, I saw him explain Iran and Iraq and how we sold arms to one and intel to the other. And then we sold intel to the other, telling them that he knows about the gun, man. It's one of my favorite. I was like, oh, my God, it totally makes sense. So, yes, that's why I do comedy.
So we got Will Durst, Azar Usman, Robert Brill, a gentleman from coming all the way from Minneapolis to be part of the event. Dwayne Kennedy, local. Emily Galati.
What?
Yeah. Do you want to talk a show? You want to talk a big show?
I think we are talking.
And even Kevin Naughton.
Oh, there you go. Kevin might snap, though. Are we okay with that?
Well, that's the idea. He's gonna snap about politics. He's gonna do a political snap. It's a prime example. He says, "I've never done political before. I've always wanted."
He might find his niche. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, it's he might snap.
Right. He just might. I know that Erica is hoping that there is a spectacle at the Academy Awards. Mm-hmm. She's hoping that Chris Rock just starts and walks right off.
I hope so.
Just walks right off that stage. But I doubt it, though.
I know, but God, it would be so great. Like, we would remember this forever.
Yeah, that's true. Like, although I think he has an opportunity to do some of the most brilliant "I'm the only black man in the room" jokes.
I know, but he did it before. He was the host before when it was the same situation.
And do you remember how awkward? Does anybody remember how awkward it was when he was talking about Kazan and there was a weird Kazan moment because they were giving him a Lifetime Achievement Award, and there was a lot of controversy about that because he had kind of snitched on during the blacklisting and stuff like that, mm-hmm. and that De Niro wouldn't like him because he doesn't like a rat. It was very strange. Uh-huh. It was really awkward. Nobody remembers it but me. No.
Yeah, it's striking. Yeah, no, no, you're right. Right. It would always be remembered by every single casting director in Hollywood if you were to do something like that.
But he's at the point where he can.
Yeah, I think he's beyond touching. Yeah.
Is anybody at that point?
Untouchable?
To the point where we don't mind if we never work again. I mean, that's what it is. You know, right. When you reach a certain point of success, the money means nothing. It's the working. So, I could seriously see, you know, if he did something, I could, you know, he's the only black face that's going to be in the entire room that night. But
it could be awkward.
Why turn that down?
Erica's like, show up, do it, and then walk off.
What is that lady's name who played Aunt Viv on Fresh Prince of
Bel-Air? I heard about the video where she went after Jada Pinkett Smith and Will Smith.
She ripped them apart so badly that it you know how like someone says something that's like an opposing point of view of yours?
Yeah.
And like after like 2 or 3 minutes, she got me. And I was like, man, she's right. Because she was talking about like Will and Jada have said nothing
about
anything.
Like, yeah.
Black Lives Matter, all these kids getting shot by police, all of this stuff, and you choose the Oscars to talk and boycott.
Yeah. After you've made millions upon millions of dollars, it's now you're
this is going to take a stand on this.
This is the wall. This is the wall you're going to stand
right,
on.
We're not going to get a prize.
Right. Yeah.
That's the thing is that they also have enough money to make their own movies.
Right. And that's
go
what
get
she
go
said.
Make that happen.
You can make yeah. There's so
they
many
could
more.
Cast an Oscar out right. of solid gold. They could have it commissioned.
Well, he's talking about putting people in the movie. He's talking about the foundry where right. they make the little statues.
Right. And then
little...
she started. She even ripped apart because you know Jada's mad that he didn't get nominated for Concussion. That right. part was making me laugh because she's like, he did a terrible Nigerian accent, too. It's like, he shouldn't have been nominated anyway. I'm like, oh, my God.
The Russian that emails me does a better Nigerian accent.
Yes, he did a very terrible, but it's a good movie. But yeah, he did a terrible
yeah, I think my friend Amelia, who writes, she's a Mexican-American writer in L.A., and she said it's too late. Academy Awards time is too late to say there's not enough diversity.
Right.
The process
yeah.
starts now. So talk about getting yeah. stuff done. Done.
Right. Yeah. I mean, so yeah.
Shonda Rhimes has made it happen. She's
right.
She
yeah.
creates work that gets people, you know,
right.
To tell stories that then wins Emmys or at least nominations. Yeah.
And Golden Globes and stuff.
Yes.
Like yeah. Because they get, said
do the work
for the Golden Globes. There are 18 African-American nominees, but yeah, zero for. And I guess people are upset because of the two movies that were mostly African-American, they still found the white people to
stay out of Compton.
You know, like Straight Outta Compton, the best screenwriter. Like, you found the one white person, and then Creed. You
well,
found
they
Sylvester.
Had to work with all those black people, and
right.
they still
it's
did a good
like,
job.
And you still wrote, yeah. Which is like, and then I don't feel like they're going to win that.
No.
Because that
no,
movie
they can't.
Wrote it.
They
it's
can't.
Not like, mm-mm. This is great writing that they said. You know, the movie, they had all the facts right in front of them. So, yeah.
It's a. I don't watch the award shows anymore. I used to sit down and get all excited. I the dresses and those conversations on the red carpet. I mean, it starts like 9 hours before the actual event, and I just Tim. I don't see you as a sitting down with your favorite cocktail and watching the Academy Awards. I just don't see you like you know putting your feet
having
up.
A pool.
Yes.
Having, doing a little pool.
Yeah.
Everyone picking their that might, who can pick the most.
That might be more interesting. I guess I've never even done that where you're
oh,
like
you
betting on the.
Oh, I did that. No,
yeah, like the grids and stuff.
Yeah, did you see any of the movies? Like, I honest to God only saw The Revenant and I bought it from.
How was it?
The local crackhead on some. I swear. I bought. I do not know where this man gets these movies from.
That's
they
fantastic.
Are like perfect screen copies.
Yeah, no, that's what they are. They're screeners. It's essentially they want to make sure that everyone in the Academy has seen all the movies.
Or the Screen Actors Guild.
The ones they think that will win. So they send out these screeners, and some people are less than reputable when they get the screeners.
Oh.
They rip them off and hand them to all their friends who then rip them off, and that's how they get out there. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, so I saw The Revenant was amazing.
Was it?
But everything else...
Why were they making jokes about... What happened?
A little
blind.
Blind.
Yeah.
The looks on your face is like, it seemed a little more intense. Something fell on the studio. But I don't know what's happening tonight. There's a lot going on in here.
It was a little spooky. It was a haunting.
Something
like,
fell.
Don't talk about Leo.
Yeah, something apparently fell. Craig, seriously, we've gone from ghosts to demons in the studio. I don't know what's happening.
What were they making jokes about? You said?
Being manhandled by a bear.
Oh, my God, that part. Did you see the movie? You said you did.
I can't take Leonardo DiCaprio seriously. Anything.
Bear scene looked, is just it's just too much. It's
where the bear has his way with him.
Yeah, it's just it's way.
I can't get that out of my head now.